We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about what to expect from the vice presidential candidate debate tonight. Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is David Lowery, who's a professor of political science at Penn State University. Dr. Lowery has published well over 100 papers on the politics of interest representation, bureaucratic politics, urban politics, and public policy. Since 2011, he's also been the director of the Center for American Political Responsiveness at Penn State University. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Lowery.
Pleased to be here.
And obviously, there's a great deal of anticipation for tonight's debate between Joe Biden and Paul Ryan. And obviously, Joe Biden he's done this before, right? And the last time he did it, he had a more difficult task on his hand with Sarah Palin, didn't he, than with Paul Ryan. At least Paul Ryan is a kind of conventional politician, as opposed to the maverick from Wasilla.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very difficult to go strong and hard at a woman, and that won't be the situation tonight. And Biden needs to go very strong and hard at Paul Ryan, and he won't be constrained in the way he was last time.
So you think that this will be more of a gloves-off thing than the first presidential debate that was essentially between a sort of hyped-up alpha male doing a very aggressive sales pitch and this strangely kind of lackluster president who has now regretted his lack of performance and said that he was too polite?
I think it was a little more than being too polite. I think President Obama is very much a thoughtful person. He's very much a non-soundbite kind of person. In many ways, he's like an academic. You know, I see lots of my colleagues who speak this way, where they're always editing their conversation as they speak to you. And that works very well in some forms. When Obama is giving a long speech, when Obama is giving a thoughtful interview with an individual reporter. But in terms of these debate formats, it's not a very useful kind of approach to the issue. And I think it will not be especially easy for him to change his style. That's who he is. Joe Biden, in contrast, is a very, very experienced person, and I suspect him to be very, very tough tonight.
So, obviously, these things are more, I think they're less cerebral and more emotional, aren't they? I mean, look at the response to how the polls have changed. It's extraordinary to think how much time and effort and money the Democrats spent on defining Romney negatively, and they were quite successful at doing so, and then suddenly, because people had a positive reaction to Romney, now he's gone flying up in the polls with the so-called undecided. So, and much of that, I think, is atmospherics, emotional intelligence, not necessarily what he said. Would you agree?
That's certainly part of it. But you have to remember where the campaign is. In all of the political science models that we use to project the elections, the standard models that have presidential approval in them, have the quality of the economy, whether it's growing or slowing down. All of those models said it was going to be a very, very close election. And just prior to last week's debate, what happened is that Romney was on the edge of being perceived as an unacceptable candidate. Going back to his European trips with the gaffe at the Olympics, all the way through the 47% comments and so on, he had almost defined himself out of the range of acceptable candidates. And he gives a good performance, and that good performance brought him back from that precipice. And so I don't think it was so much a positive reaction to Romney as a canceling out of the negative image of Romney that he created through a series of missteps and missed opportunities, such as the Republican convention. Again. And it brought us back to the fundamentals of the election, which are, it's a very close election. And so he's made that gain, and now everyone has to debate the election in a way that we expected it to be from the very beginning.
Again, I'm speaking with David Lowery. He's a professor of political science at Penn State University, where he's also the director of the Center for American Political Responsiveness. Now, what you've just said about Romney could well apply to Ryan. I mean, he's been pretty negatively defined too, hasn't he?
Yes, he is. And I'm concerned about Ryan's performance tonight in the sense that he's not very well known among the public. He's not perceived very positively, even though people don't know very much. But I suspect that something that might happen tonight is that he will appear to be a bit of a brittle candidate. It's Joe's job to make Romney flustered and to bring him down into the weeds and try to defend his proposal. And Mr. Ryan is used to debating in front of very friendly audiences, and he won't have that tonight. He won't have people cheering him on. They'll make him demonstrate how his plan actually works. And I think there's a good chance that he'll get flustered over that.
So if religion doesn't come up or the candidate's religious outlook doesn't come up, how else do you think is Biden going to challenge Ryan in terms of I think the subtext here is, you know, that Biden is kind of a huggable guy, and he's very tactile on the stump. And my assumption will be that he'll come across as the warm and cuddly guy, and the other guy is going to either come across as the cold technocrat, or he's going to be painted into that corner.
I think he's going to be painted into that corner, and I think the way you do it is. And the way both of them will try to deal with it is they will deal with a fundamental contradiction in American public opinion. American public opinion is anti-government. If we ask people in public opinion polls, do you think government is too big? Do you think we spend too much money? And so on. Do you think it's a good idea to get government out of our lives? They say yes, yes, yes. If you ask them detailed questions about Medicare, if you ask them detailed questions about tax rates for the 1%, if you ask them detailed questions about whether it's appropriate to help people who have an autistic child at home, they say yes, yes, yes as well. If Ryan can stay at the more abstract level, he wins. Joe Biden's job is to bring him down into the weeds and defend the specific implications of this very general philosophy that he has. And there's a way to do that because there is the Ryan budget plan. That's how you pull him down into the weeds, make him defend that, and I think that's what Joe Biden has to do tonight.
Again, I'm speaking with David Lowery, professor of political science at Penn State University, where he's also the director of the Center for American Political Responsiveness. What about the moderator here? Does anybody have any strong feelings about Martha Raddatz of ABC, given the amount of piling on that went that followed Jim Lehrer's somewhat lackluster and confused performance in the first debate? What do you expect in terms of the moderator? Is the moderator going to be present or absent like Jim Lehrer was?
I think moderators are like anyone else. They're reacting to what went right before them. And there was so much criticism of Jim Lehrer that I think she will be compelled to take a much firmer hand in the debate. And she's a good, solid journalist. But I expect her to keep a firm hand on the reins of this debate. And so kind of sitting on her shoulder tonight will be the image of Jim Lehrer, and sitting on Mr. Ryan's shoulders will be the image of Mr. Romney. I suspect every time tonight that Joe Biden says Ryan, he says Romney Ryan or Ryan Romney. Because in many ways, given the president's performance last week, while Joe Biden is debating Mr. Ryan, he is also debating Mitt Romney, had the image of him last week dealing with the president. And so he will try to link the two as much as possible and make this an answer to Governor Romney as much as the stand-in for him, Congressman Ryan.
Well, obviously, he's got an opening there with the vouchers question that came up in the presidential debate. So I'm sure that we'll hear a lot about Ryan's voucher plan for Medicare.
Yeah, as well as the abortion flap that happened the last day or two, where Mitt Romney had to again step back position he stated in public. I think that will appear tonight at some point.
In meaning that Romney had to reiterate his anti-abortion stance,
He said he had no specific plans, no specific legislation with respect to abortion, and immediately the campaign had to backtrack on that. And Paul Ryan has a very, very strong pro-life record, the specific pieces of legislation. And I think Joe Biden will be compelled to try to link that, Mr. Ryan's position, to this flip-flopping of Mitt Romney over the last 2 days. It's in people's mind. It got a lot of coverage the last 2 days.
Well, Mitt Romney was pretty emphatic at once. I recall on the campaign trail seeing him say, "I'm going to get rid of Planned Parenthood."
I'm going to get rid of Planned Parenthood. He supported the personhood constitutional amendment proposal in Mississippi. There's a long, long, long record, and yet when discussing it with a editorial board, he says, "Well, I have no specific plans in this regard."
Right.
So
this is the Etch-a-Sketch routine,
yeah.
Right? Well, at least the editorial board would have pulled him over more than Obama did, right?
Yes. Yeah. And the president just failed to
right.
do that.
So, David Lowery, we're talking about the vice presidential debate, which normally doesn't get much attention. I guess it's because of what happened with the first presidential debate. It's going to have substantial ratings, right? And you're suggesting that Biden's strategy makes a lot of sense. It gets them. It's essentially another bite at the apple for the Democrats, right?
Yeah. If it's just a vice presidential debate, if that's all it is, it doesn't have much impact, whatever the result is. There's not a lot of evidence in our studies of this that vice presidential debates bear a lot on the final voting decision, for the simple reason they're not at the top of the ticket. But what Vice President Biden needs to do is make sure that Mr. Romney is in the room. Every time he talks, every time he speaks, every time he raises an issue, he's debating Mitt Romney. He's not debating Paul Ryan.
Well, as we've mentioned, he's got a little bit of ammunition in that regard, presumably he will go for it. What is your sense then, David Lowery, again, professor of political science at Penn State University, where he also directs the Center for American Political Responsiveness? Just explain to me what that means, though, American political responsiveness, because obviously that's what we're talking about, I guess, in the sense that the reactions to the first debate, we talk about political responsiveness, it completely changed the whole calculation, didn't it?
Well, what our center is about is looking at the relationship between public opinion, how public opinion is filtered through political institutions, and then how that ultimately influences public policy. And in many ways, the debate has now come down. Now that Mitt Romney has come back from the precipice, we're now looking at the policy consequences of the two candidates' proposals. And that's a good thing, because there are real consequences to this election. There's always real consequences in elections, but especially so this time. We have two stark choices in front of us.
Well, a while back hosted a debate at UCLA between two political pros, Dan Schnur, who ran John McCain's 2000 campaign, and Bill Zimmerman, who's run a lot of Democratic campaigns. And what these both these campaign operatives said was that what happens in American presidential campaigns is that billions are raised by the candidates, and they're only spent in the swing states. You know, here in California, you wouldn't even know there's an election on, except for local propositions on the ballot. And they pour all this money into these seven or eight swing states. And then as you get closer to the election, they then pour all of their money on the so-called undecided. And if you're undecided late in October, you're not really paying attention, and you're kind of, you know, not to be impolite, but you're kind of brain dead. And that's one of the things I find so troubling about this. And the enormous swing that took place with Romney, the idea that people aren't paying attention. It was clearly Romney's tactic. He figured they weren't paying attention to the last 18 months and they're only tuning in now so he can start with a clean slate. Do you think the American electorate is that sort of capricious and volatile and not necessarily intellectual? I wasn't going to say intelligent, but intellectual?
Our polite phrase for those folks are low-information voters. And they're not paying attention. They're interested in other things in their lives. They're interested in their work, their family, or whatever. But I think the particular game, the spectacular game that Mitt Romney made last week, it's looking like a 4%, maybe 4.5%, 5% switch, reflects not so much the volatility of the public per se, but the fact that a large number of people who would normally be Republican supporters had given Mitt Romney up for dead. And so he clawed those back last week.
And
I don't think they would have been there to claw back if he hadn't made the mistakes in the previous 2 months.
And indeed, he also clawed back all the money that had abandoned him, because, you know, businessmen invest in a winner, whether he's a Democrat or a Republican. So it was a win-win for Romney. I thank you for joining us here, David Lowry.
Happy to do it, and hope you enjoy the debate tonight.
Well, it's about to start, so I thank you for joining us. Again, I've been speaking with David Lowry, who's a professor of political science at Penn State University. Dr. Lowry has published well over 100 papers on the politics of interest, representation, bureaucratic politics, urban politics, and public policy. Since 2011, he's also been the director of the Center for American Political Responsiveness at Penn State University. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Tariq Mohammed. This program is available for streaming and podcasting at ianmasters.com, where we welcome your comments. And the conversation continues online at facebook.com/ianmastersmedia. And I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.